The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life. Settles in your soul.
Settles in your soul.
Yes, it does.
Does settle in your soul.
Yeah, we do.
Good morning, everybody. This is Terry Raposa and Wynn Carpenter. How are you, partner?
I am doing well. How about you?
I'm doing good. Liam, our producer, how you doing, pal?
I'm doing good.
Good. What cup of coffee?
Third.
Third?
And I can't wake up for the life of me.
Oh, buddy. It's the change. You know what? It's the change of season.
It is. No, it is.
It really is.
You need to eat something. You're too skinny anyway.
Well, good morning, everybody. We are broadcasting live, I think.
Yep.
On 1460 AM, not, but on 96.5 FM.
Yes.
You can hear us, 1460 AM. I believe that's going to be fixed soon. Any word on that, Liam?
I do not have the answer to that question.
Okay.
Sorry.
It'll be fixed soon. It's just some things are technical and they break, and it's just a bummer that they do. But
and then they always cost money.
And then they always cost money, that awful thing called money. Oh, man. Anyway, we are broadcasting live on 96.5 FM. We also are streaming live on KCNR1460.com, KCNR1460.com. And as we go on into the program, if you have a question or a comment, the phone number here is 530-605-4567. 605-4567, area code 530. And now we all have to dial that first. Unfortunately, we're back to the dark ages on the telephone lines. I do have an announcement here. The Northern California Beef Initiative Micro Summit.
Yes, yes.
It is going to be... it is going to be at 9490 Draper Road in Cottonwood, California on June the 17th. It will be from 10 a.m. to 6:30. You come in and it'll be a day where you'll be out at Duven Vorden Farms. And you can learn all about, farm and table, the local economy, nutrition, all that good stuff. Some of the speakers are Texas Slim. He is the Beef Initiative founder, Mark Duven Vorden of Duven Vorden Farm Owners. It's too early to say that name.
I'm glad you're reading that.
Yeah, I know.
As you thrash their name across your way.
There's Audra Estramato, and she is from High Noon Beef. She's the owner there. Maria Powers. Nourish to Thrive. She's a nutritionist. Reading Bitcoin Center founder, Ted Powers, and Pursuing Freedom Bitcoin educator, Alan Jackson. So All these folks will be there. There's going to be a dinner. There's going to be fun. It's going to be quite a day. So
okay, again, the date and time?
The dates are the date is June 17th. 2023. It's from 10 a.m. to 6:30 p.m. at 19490 Draper Road in Cottonwood, California. There's booths available too. If you want to get a booth out there, it will be available for you. You can contact Jed Powers at 650-823-9542. 605-823-9542. So it's going to be quite an event. The tickets are $99 for the adult, and that includes food and all kinds of good stuff. And a child is $45. And that's what we have there. And what do we have here? We have Shasta County here. Boy, do we have Shasta County here. If you heard the previous program, you heard from Chris Street. And Chris was someone who was one of the applicants for the CEO office.
Yep.
It used to be CAO. They changed it to CEO, mm-hmm. but it used to be Chief Accounting Officer. Now it's Chief Executive Officer, and I guess they. I'm not really sure what the reasoning. Do you know what the reasoning was behind that?
Not a clue.
That change anyway. They not made a change. So that's the predict the way you're supposed to.
It was probably for pay.
Yeah, probably.
Because you know, anytime somebody gets a change over there, oh, we've got to change the money.
Yeah. Anyway, the Chris Street situation has been pretty interesting. There's been a lot of things written that aren't true about the man. There's been a lot of things happening. There's speculation of a whistleblower. There's a speculation of a leaker. There's all kinds of interesting things swirling around. The thing I do know is that...
You mean it's getting political?
Yeah.
You think?
Yeah, I think so.
Jeez.
The thing I do know is that when you interview for a job like that, it's a little bit backwards from the private sector.
Mm-hmm.
You interview, and they make you an offer. Then they go do your background check, and then they do your... reference check.
They vet you after they've offered.
After they offered. That's the way I understand it. If I'm wrong, you guys know the phone number.
Yeah.
Or you can go into the chat room. But I, and then what happens is that, you're offered the job depending on what your background check comes in as according to the position of the Board of Supervisors and what your references look like. Well, I know that before Mr. Street went into the background check,
mm-hmm.
there was a majority that wanted to hire the man.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he was the guy. Okay, so when the majority decided they wanted to do that, we know it was at least 3 out of 5 because it has to be a quorum.
Right.
Some people said it's 4 out of 5. We don't really know. That was behind closed doors, but we know it was a majority.
Mm-hmm.
The interesting thing is that when everything came back, as far as the background check and the position of what your references would be with people you've worked with or for, et cetera, that it was a 5-0 that they declined to give Mr. Street the job.
Okay.
And I find that kind of interesting that it would go from a quorum to a 5-0.
Right.
So that it hasn't been disclosed. It could have been, I mean, I don't know what it was.
And it may never be this.
It may never be, you know, and at this point, he didn't get the job.
Right.
What happened.
And that's why it's totally backwards, why it needs to be reversed in that regard.
Agreed.
You need to be vetted before
right.
you even offer the job. So then the Board of Supervisors or whatever governing agency doesn't have egg on their face trying to offer somebody a job. Then they find something out that, oh, crap, we don't want to do that. Let's not make that offer.
Yeah, we can't even make that assumption because we don't know what it was.
We don't know. We don't know.
We don't know. Nobody, you know, nobody knows really what it was.
Right.
Other than I do know that Mr. Street had some things said about him that weren't true.
Right.
And
happen, would it?
Pardon me?
That wouldn't happen, would it?
Yeah, so there somebody was afraid of something.
Yeah.
That's an assumption I'm making, but yep. somebody was afraid of something. So there was something that he was going to be engaged in or engaged with that was going to make that was going to ruffle somebody's feathers or maybe find out about the deep state of Shasta County.
Well, he's a free citizen, so he can talk about it.
Yes, we can now. So it might be a blessing in disguise. Anyway, the other thing that's going on is Kevin Cry has had recall papers served on him. And
So they had to wait for the 90 days to pass before they filed the paperwork by law. So that's what they did. They waited for the 90 days, and then they filed the paperwork right on the heels of it.
Yeah, it's like, okay. Yeah. See, and as much as I know about Kevin Cry, I don't see that he's done anything but fulfill his campaign promises. I mean, I don't see anything. He did say he was going to do some things.
Yeah.
And then he's done those things.
Mm-hmm.
And then people have not liked the way he did those things or that he did those things he said he was going to do before he got elected. And is that the issue? So.
Well, and he's taking a different approach, too.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, he's new to the political arena, and so he's taking a little bit different approach than what everybody is used to, and that's okay. That's what makes the whole thing beautiful is that we all do our, you know, we have our civic duty that we're supposed to fulfill. He's doing that because he ran a campaign, he won the election, he's in the office, and he's doing the job. That's what he was, you know, that's the process. So he's satisfying that by doing what he promised he was going to do, or when he was talking about in campaign season, I'm going to do X, Y, and Z, and he's been doing X, Y, and Z. So what's the problem?
Well, I mean, you know, I haven't really heard And it could just be me. Maybe you've heard or somebody has heard that one of the reasons for recalling him. Is it just, well,
I don't know. I haven't seen
Dominion is probably one because they don't like the vote on that.
I haven't seen the paperwork, so I don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
Until we see the paperwork and we find out, you know, who all the proponents are and we find out all the people that signed it. You know, once we find that out, too, we'll be able to share that information because that's public information.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It just seems a little strange to me that, you know, this whole thing would be going that way.
Sideways.
This gentleman, yeah.
It's all going sideways.
Yeah. So, you know, we have a lot of interesting things happening in Shasta County. I know that when you talk about supervisors, Tim Garmin ran on the fact that he wanted to get rid of the Dominion machine, then he voted to keep it, ran on the fact that he wanted to have a situation where the Second Amendment resolution would pass, and he voted against it. When Kathy Darling Allen decided he was going to get rid of the 2020 election records that, and
he voted for that.
He voted for it, even though he told me, well, you know, I'm really against it. I'm against her doing it, but I voted for it because I figured we couldn't do anything about it. Well,
are you kidding?
Oh man.
Your vote is doing something about it. Your vote is saying, no, don't do it. And then if she does it anyway, then you have a corrective action to take.
Yeah. So the one thing you have to say about Mr. Cry, at least he's doing what he said he did. And talking about Mr. Cry, Kevin, how are you, sir?
Good. How you doing?
Well, so far no one's hurt me.
Day's not over.
Yeah, well, I like Nick Gardner's quote. He says, "I'm doing what I can with the little I got left." I'm not gonna use that yet because I'm only 46. But maybe when I'm closer to Nick's age, I'll use it.
There you go.
So, how are you doing? And what can you tell us about what's the reasoning behind all this stuff?
Well, I figured I'd call in because I know you guys do a great job, and I appreciate the opportunity. The thing for me, I think this really comes down to this, is I knew back in the first week of November, right after the initial ballots being counted, and it looked like, you know, I had a really good shot to win the election in November. I was told at the clerk's office by one of my opponent's supporters that they said, hey, if you're lucky enough to pull this out, we're going to recall you anyway. It's like, okay. So I knew this was definitely coming. Did I know it was going to come within the first, you know, 4 months? No, but, you know, I assumed this was going to happen because we live in a society now where if people don't like the rules, they take their ball and go home or they try and change the rules. So for me, this I wasn't shocked. This is strictly very, very upset liberals who would rather have Gavin Newsom appoint a supervisor than have one that is elected by the people sit in office for 4 years. So that's what this boils down to, in my opinion. On the recall petition I was served, 12% of the people that signed it were Republicans, and then the vast majority were Democrats.
Can you talk about number one, I think it was a good point that you made, especially about Newsom appointing. I mean, the real deal is with these new laws, is that the governor would virtually appoint someone for a position of supervisor if the supervisor is recalled. But the one thing I did want to ask you, is there anything you can say or talk about that is in those papers at this point? What's their reasoning? I mean, you said you were going to do some things when you got elected. You ran on that. You're doing those things. So is it tell us what the deal is.
Sure. Well, one thing I can tell you is, and this is what I've told, you know, many people, is when something comes before me and it's time for a vote, my process remains the same. I didn't bring the voting system item forward, but like anything I'm going to vote on, I research it, I pull in as many resources as possible, understand it to the best of my ability, and then make a vote. So some of these things that we've been voting on, I mean, I'm not the chair. The chair or the clerk of the board puts things on the agenda. So for me, when, you know, running on government corruption or homeless or unsheltered programs, things of that nature, like those are the things I've delivered on over and over, and I just don't run them to the press because for me, this really isn't about a credit kind of thing. This is just something that says, hey, I'm going to work really hard doing the things that I'm going to do, and that's it. For me, the whole process of the voting system or the Dominion vote, what bothers me the most is people aren't even giving the process time to understand what the true costs are going to be. There's going to be a lot of process and a lot of back and forth with what these final costs will be. There's a lot of ambiguity in the election code as far as paying poll workers versus having volunteer ones. There's case law to prove that. So this process has a long way to go. And in terms of being fiscally conservative, I'm very fiscally conservative. And the one thing that's really important to me, though, is understanding when you're going through a process and you're trying to get the information, people are holding the information or not sharing all the information with you, or the powers that be, let's say the Secretary of State or Attorney General, are sending emails and almost gaslighting you and moving the goalposts mid-conversation. It's hard to really work with and negotiate with people when you don't feel like you're getting all the facts to make a decision. So this process has a long way to go, a long way to go.
Okay, Kevin, and you're absolutely right. Now, you mentioned something earlier, just a moment ago, but you said about the board members being able to put items on the agenda along with the clerk. So you said the chair of the board and the clerk. Doesn't any board member have the right to put something on the agenda?
Oh, yeah, we can absolutely ask to bring something forth, exactly. But the things that, like if you look at the five biggest decisions, so to speak, that, you know, and again, people could have different opinions of what the five biggest, you know, decisions or things that put it on to this point are. I didn't bring any of those forward, but what I realize now is, you know, like in our board reports and things like that, sometimes supervisors, you know, use it as just a laundry list of almost like just going over the their calendar, and, you know, here's all the things I went to, here's all the things I did. But for me, I think it's more important to report, you know, in a CAB meeting or a LASCO meeting, what are some big decisions that came out of that. And what I realize now is it's also important to use the board report time to say, hey, here are some metrics and facts of programs that I'm working on, and here's the results they're garnering now. So I will definitely start doing a better job of that, because, you know, one of the things I'm most proud of is in HHSA, there's a program called the ECHO program, ECHO, and it's a program that helps people get into temporary housing. And 28 people in the last 12 months have received temporary housing through this program. Well, 9 of those 28 came from a program I brought at that point less than 90 days prior in 34 and a half hours. So if you look how many hours versus the result, 34 and a half hours and 30%+ of the people came through a program that I brought forth, again, in 3 months, you extrapolate that data out, and that's by far the most successful strategy of getting services to people that need housing. Well, you know, I don't talk about that, but now I'm going to start talking about that. And there's others like it that we're working on that I'm very proud of. But again, I was just elected, you know, less than 4 months ago, so I don't feel the need to just run out and let people know of all the positive things that are happening. So,
well, again, you know, it's the kind of thing where you made a good point. You said people aren't giving the mechanism of not having the machines time. And I know that, first of all, Hand County is legal. And second of all, Alex Haberbusch from Lex Rex, we interviewed him. We've talked with him. We've gone over a lot of different things with him. And he's saying that there is a mechanism. He has a mechanism. He has 13 points to prove that mechanism. And he is a Republican. And Clint Curtis, who is a Democrat, said that the programming of the machines, they absolutely can be corrupted because he did the programming. So, I mean, I'm trying to figure out here, again, it's a dilemma to me. I see, just after what you just said, you're trying to put forth another program, other things you ran on, which is good. You ran on the fact that you didn't really trust the Dominion machine. That's good. Again, I guess we're trying to find out why in the hell they're even doing this.
Let me clarify that. Like, I didn't run on not trusting the Dominion machine.
No, you didn't run. No, you didn't. But what you did is you, in other words, you felt it had to be looked into. I mean, I know.
Well,
it,
I feel like there's a genuine mistrust
with
a lot
of
people. I mean, I knocked on a lot of doors, and there are, and that wasn't one of the main items I campaigned on or brought up. I mean, I think personally that, and I've said this multiple times, that the machines locally, with the size of ours, I mean, I don't see anything in the supervisor's race. Now, I know people have brought things forward and said, hey, here's what could possibly be the likelihood of fraud. But again, to me, there's some issues that are just bigger, I think, than Shasta County. And there are a lot of people, and I think it's very undisputed, there are a lot of people that do not trust machines. And for me, this is one thing, as we've teased out, what does it look like to hand count? I think there's zero problem in flushing that out, and then the more you get into it and understand the legalities of it and really how effectively it can be done with much, much, much fewer employees or bodies than has been stated and at a much, much lower cost. I don't see why you wouldn't take a look at that. But really what I think this recall is about is about everything that I stand for, really, which is, you know, faith, family, and country. That's basically what this comes down to. Like, for me, like parent rights, I think parental rights are the most important thing either. Do I have any jurisdiction over parental rights? Not really, but I do have a voice and a platform, and I do make it known that I think there's an assault on the conservative way of life, not just in Shasta County, but across the country. And I think people have to start standing up.
So there's no argument here. I'm just, again, I'm perplexed. When Modi was recalled, there were numerous things, including a misfeasance. He had been found guilty by the grand jury of using the sheriff's department. In fact, he used McGreeny to do some of this, to go back and behind the car fire lines after he had told people in a public statement that if they went behind the car fire lines to go back to their homes for anything, they would have to face consequences, lawful consequences, where he actually used the sheriff's department to go back there, check his generator, in fact, at one point, picking up wine. And I, with a conversation with McGreeny that I had, his thing was, well, I really didn't like it when he had us pick up the wine. I mean, seriously. You know, so...
Yeah.
So I guess what I'm saying is that, and there was a lot more than that with I'm just trying to figure out, you know, and we're not trying to be one way or another on this situation. I just don't see this recall as anything but a nothing burger because I haven't heard one concrete thing where you have A, broken the law, B, done anything illegal. I haven't heard anything yet. So I'm waiting to, that's the thing that I find just, ridiculous.
Well,
I guess.
That's because there isn't anything. But what we've learned, obviously, in national media, is they'll start making stuff up, and that's the thing.
Yep.
That's the thing where I truly start to see and understand how ugly of a society we truly live in at this point. You have individuals that will go up in public comment or call into radio shows and just blatantly lie and make stuff up. And, but that's the world we live in now. We live in a world where there is zero accountability for posting something online or saying something that's untrue. And really it speaks more to the people saying it because their lives, are such, imagine if they focused their efforts on things that truly mattered and truly moved the ball in society, opposed to being so vile and, I want to say vindictive, but vindictive would have to denote that, you know, a person has done something wrong to them. And there's just a lot of
that's
people.
That's a good point.
There's just a lot of people that are just really vile. I mean, we had one person going up in public comment not too long ago making some type of accusations or innuendos that there's something coming out about me. Yeah, you know what it's probably going to be? It's that I yelled at kids who were young when I coached. You know, that's probably, I mean, that's about it. Like, I've led a pretty boring life for the most part. I mean, I've been, you know, married to my wife for 23 years, raising my three kids. My oldest just graduated college yesterday at 19, got her bachelor's at 19. Wow. So if anything, I've spent just a ton of time serving my community, my employees, because I work for my employees, and it's boring. So they're going to have to make stuff up, and they're going to try and character assassinate me, and that's just what I signed up for. And it's a shame, but that's the society we live in now.
Yeah, you know, the thing is that with the supervisors, that the way, oh, it looks like we have, oh, you want to take a break? Is that what you're trying to tell me?
Well, listen,
Liam,
hang on
1 second, because Liam is trying to communicate with me here.
It's 9:30.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. You're waving the flag and everything else. I'm glad you had that third cup of coffee, brother, because that means you're awake enough to send me a message. So, Kevin, if you want to, you can stay on after the break. It's up to you.
Well, I mean, I appreciate you guys. Like, I really do, and I think it's just important for people to know that this is an assault on, again, conservative values. And the last thing we want is Gavin Newsom meddling in Shasta.
You think?
Absolutely. I agree on that. That's for sure.
Amen to that.
Well, I'm going to get ready for church. You guys have a great rest of your Sunday, and appreciate you both.
All right, Kevin. Have a great day.
Have a great day. Hang in there, buddy.
So with that, time has come.
For 51.
Let's get it done.
Amen.
Seems like yesterday, but it was long ago. There in the darkness with the radio playing low, and the secrets that we share.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, of course, on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today, or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
Aloha, this is Kevin, operations manager at Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. A professionally cleaned business sends a message to your paying customers. It says you are a company that cares about your image and always presenting the very best impression. Time after time, I've talked to clients who shopped for the lowest price, and after a few months, realized that their professional image was suffering. They didn't know who was actually coming into their offices to do the cleaning, and they just weren't getting the value they were paying for. Be wary of big-name companies that take your money, then hire unknown contractors to do the work. Since 1987, Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, your local professionals, have been offering the best in office cleaning by our screened, bonded, and insured staff. Take pride in your business and say aloha to your customers with the professional cleaning services from Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. Call 221-5868, 221-5868, MauiBob'sOfficeCleaning.com.
Sally Lou sent this in?
Yeah.
I don't know what to make of that, honey. I don't know what to make of that song. I really don't. Maybe you can go to the chat room and give us a reason for that song. Maybe it's just Wynn and I were bad to the bone.
Yeah. this bad.
We've got a surprise guest, the Mighty Quinn.
Hey, I haven't heard that in a long time.
Yeah, and he's bad to the bone. He's got some stuff here that's bad to the bone, brother.
You know, we'd have gotten into a fight years ago when I was in school. That song came out, and it was Quinn the Eskimo, Mighty Quinn. Well, if you said Quinn the Eskimo, there were 18 Quinns in the school. You got into a fight. A Mighty Quinn, we could take that. So,
sounds good, buddy.
Grew up around that.
All right, you've got some breaking news. Shoot away.
Well, we're putting together a campaign called 75 More. This is the 75th year of the Reading Rodeo, and it's time to give them a long-term lease, none more of this three-year stuff, and stretch it out and then have people try to come in and say it's surplus property and Reading needs to sell it and put condos down there and develop it. That is Reading's heritage property, and 75 years being in, having a rodeo go on, more successful every year, it's time to give them 75 more years. 15-year leases, give them 15 years with four extensions of 15 years, guarantee them 75 more, let's keep the rodeo here. Everybody's on board with this. This is our heritage.
How's city council with it?
I said everybody except a couple of people.
I haven't
reached out to all of them yet. But the fact that they're even studying this we're given $100,000 to study that they're going to take away that land down there. Where'd they come up with that money? When they complain about, you know, the voting thing and all that, will they get $100,000 the city has to waste on something like that? No, not going to work. And you don't take that away. I'm sorry. It's not going to happen. So we'll be out at the pancake breakfast. We'll be at the rodeo. We'll be getting signatures. We'll have all the media blasting this across saying, no more, folks. Stand up and say, this is still your town.
Well, who's all the media that's going to stand up for this? Are you going to get Mike Mangus and those folks to stand up for it? Or are they just going to report it?
I've talked with Carl, so the station here.
Good.
You guys invited me in as soon as we started talking about it. I'll be on all the shows that want to talk about. It's actually saw Results Radio this morning. They said every one of their stations will be in. We'll take it to everybody. And I say media, I got to leave the record site out. Sorry.
Well, that's not media.
No. Yeah.
You're okay with that.
I'll put it, if I can get in USA Today, it'll make it to here.
There you go.
But this is really important to this town. This
it's
is
iconic.
Our heritage.
I mean, you know, the Reading Rodeo is fantastic.
And it's been recognized around the country. A few years ago when they started that Saturday special show, the number one radio, number one rodeo that they chose was Reading. We were the very first, you know, keynote start to that whole circuit. They know what we do. They know how we, you know, how we rodeo up here. And so they had to change really the format, and, you know, we're still a part of that. But if you're recognized nationwide by a group like that, and you know what goes on here. I mean, the schools, the kids all get dressed up.
Right.
You know, they have rodeo nights there. The most special day of the rodeo is when they take the special kids out there on that morning, and they take them around in the wagons and horses and stuff like that. You can't find a better day. That's what Americana is about. That's what this rodeo is about. And we're going to make sure that those guys get recognized and given a lease in which they can improve the grounds and have their money.
So let me get this straight. City Council spent $100,000 to check and see if probably one of the most iconic rodeos in the United States and something that's a tremendous revenue generator for this county and for this city. They actually were checking to see if there was a better gig, and then they spent $100,000 of our tax money to find out. Is that what happened?
To study it. That's what they're doing right now.
Oh, my gosh. Are you kidding me? How do we get these people in office?
Instead of spending $100,000 in doing something like that, why don't they just use a little common sense?
Unbelievable. I mean, you know, I've got to say that.
I got to laugh. Why not?
Clearly, they're not business folks.
No.
Clearly, they're not listening or participating. Do they even attend the rodeo? Have they ever attended the rodeo? Do they go and watch?
Do they care to?
Do they care to? Right.
You can. Anybody can attend it. If you don't attend it, it's because you don't want to.
Yeah, you're choosing not to. That's fine.
They got those family nights when, you know, the tickets are reasonable, right. You know, for a family to go.
Yeah.
And, since I've been here in 77, I haven't missed a rodeo, and it's just fun.
Right.
Well, yeah,
it's a competition. And
exactly.
It's a sporting event.
We can sing its accolades and praises, but the proof's in the pudding. As Thomas Jefferson said, it's self-evident.
It's self-evident.
Okay,
exactly.
So the point is that as we look at all this, we're kind of going, what the hell? Now, what kind of vote was it? Was it a 3-2? Was it a 4-1? Was it a 5-0 that they wanted to spend this money?
I'd have to go back and
that's insane.
Yeah. Yeah, in fact, it wasn't a 5-0, you know, why would you only keep giving them 3-year leases?
Yeah.
You have something in mind when you're doing that.
Something major.
Someone else is pulling the strings.
Yeah. That's right.
Someone else is sending that money in.
Yep. That's exactly what's going on.
Does it rhyme with McDonald's? Or would I say, does it?
I don't know.
Does it start with an MC?
Rhymes with Bud Light.
Yeah, Bud Light, right. Yeah.
Oh man. That's the thing, you know. One more thing to chip away at our community. One more thing.
That's crazy. I mean, it's just, and the parking thing is something else that's insane. I mean, it was funny because I talked to Mark Mazzano after he had been on Carl's show, and he told me he went into a business, and the guy wasn't very happy. And I go, what the hell? Of course you're not happy.
Parking about what? What parking?
The parking in Reading, they have the parking set up. Well, if you don't move the car in 2 hours.
Well, we were talking about radio and when you went to parking.
Well, I went to parking just because I'm mad at the city of Reading.
Okay.
Well, and down there, it's the same thing. You know, you could finish that whole area off.
Absolutely.
And make it into, you know, I mean, it's got every possibility down there. We don't want to give up the convention center.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's leased out right now, but it's still ours, and at some point in time, that may leave. And I haven't looked it up yet, but I want to know how long a lease they got. Did they get a 3-year lease?
I don't know.
The convention center. That's going to be interesting.
You got some work to do.
I got some time now, Terry.
Yeah. Sounds good.
Time is work.
That's good.
Time is nice.
Well, you know, and we need somebody. Nice. You know, we need somebody really to be a watchdog on what's going on with all this stuff. And I think that's something that's been a long time coming.
And I'll apologize to you guys because I haven't been as active as I, you know, probably wanted to be. But it's just a matter of just having the time to do it right.
Well, it's about time we got the apology. Hey, Mike, you're fine, buddy. You're fine.
You're good.
You know, the thing is that as we look at what's going on, and the only reason I bring up the parking issue is because it's just another thing. It seems to be just one more thing, and it's almost nonsense. Anyway, my talk with Mazzano was a little surprising because it's like, well, the business didn't like it. Well, how? I mean, and maybe I have this wrong, and you might be the person who can straighten this out. But I came into town. I'm a tourist. I have two girls in the car with me and my wife. We stop and we park someplace. I put my buck in the meter. I do what I've got to do. I take care of everything. I'm out there wandering around. I'm doing all this good stuff. I don't have my phone on because I don't want to be bothered by work. So I'm not going to get a message telling me my 2 hours is up and I have to move my car. So here I am. The girls want a yogurt. They're going into a dress shop. We're going here. We have lunch. I get back to my car. It's 2.5 hours later and I get to leave the city of Reading with an $80 parking ticket.
That happened to me in San Francisco. It happened to me in San Francisco.
Unbelievable.
Well, at least you got your car back in San Francisco.
Because you got to move it 2 hours,
at the time,
right?
Because I never went back after that.
So we
went shopping, did some walking, went to a restaurant, slowly ate, doing no rush. It wasn't like I was on a noon hour from work and I had to get back or anything like that. And walked back out and got in the car, and I had a ticket. And I looked at the time on there, and I looked at the time, and I said, this hasn't even been 2 hours. Because I had the receipts from the stores that we went to, and called them up, and they said, too bad.
Too bad?
Yeah, you can come down here, and you can go to court over it, which, you know.
Yeah.
I said, it couldn't have happened.
Well, you know what a lot of people are doing, though? I know that I'm probably one of them. I don't visit downtown as much during the week as I used to. I'll go to a restaurant on the other side of town where my parking is free.
Right.
And if I want to do something, I can go there or whatever. That's like going to the mall and saying, I'm going to go in and have something to eat. I'm going to do this. Maybe I'll go to Outback, blah, 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 and then come out and have a ticket in the parking lot.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you can't, and then.
Okay.
I asked Mazzano, did you talk to the businesses first? Well, when I talked to them, they were angry. Well, what do you think? And that's the thing that really bothers me is the fact that it's more of positioning yourself in the role of a politician or in the role of a quote leader in your city, your community. You put yourself in a position, and frankly, all that's done out of pure ignorance. I mean, I have no idea what the logic could ever be, ever. In doing something like that.
You know, I was down here for 25 years in the station, you know, in this building right here.
Right.
And so I've seen all these changes and seen what happens. And it's changed down here. You know, I mean, now, you know, there's a lot less parking and stuff like that. But some of the, as you drove through the mall, you had parking there.
Right.
And you didn't have as much draw. So now they're saying everybody come downtown. And they want you on your bicycles. Okay, I own a small appliance store. Is somebody going to ride a bicycle up to and buy a microwave? No. or somebody owns a dress shop, right, and they have somebody bicycles down Plaster Street Hill and goes in and says, okay, I'm going to try on this dress. Not me. No, we're just, you know.
Yeah, in general.
Yes, that's right.
You've been drinking Bud Light?
and they're all sweaty. And then guess what? They have to ride their bikes home. Well, there's no easy way out of downtown Reading.
No.
You go up the North Market Hill, you can go up the Placer Hill. Eureka Way's got its own, you know, small lane there, but again, you have to go uphill at some point in time.
Yep.
Going across the bridge and stuff like that to try to get back. And in the summer, you bicycle to work downtown. Okay, it's okay in the morning. It might be 75 to 80.
Yeah.
Going home, it's 105.
Yeah.
You're going up Placer Hill on a bicycle?
No. Yeah.
No. So it's just not working. This is a rural community, and rural means, you know, you're going to have pickup trucks, you're going to have live out on 5 acres. I mean, this is why we're here.
Well, and that's the thing, too, with these parking spaces. They're not conducive to a full-size vehicle. You can pull into it, but you damn well can't open your door. Because
right.
If you cross the line because somebody else is parked next to you, you can't get out of the car or vehicle, SUV or pickup, whatever. You can't open the door to get out. I've seen that and had that happen to myself a few times. Like, why would I even park there?
And, you know, if somebody's got an $80,000 pickup truck, I want them coming to my store.
They have the money. They have the disposable income.
And, you know, they can put something in the back of it. Mm-hmm. I had a similar situation to this, and so I can give you an example. When I used to manage Bridge Bay out at the lake, and the Forest Service made us put in so many parking places.
Mm-hmm.
So I went out and did a survey, and I said, okay, 40% are small cars. And, you know, 50% were pickup trucks, and then there were some that were with trailers.
Right.
So I said, let's make our some spaces smaller. So these will be for the smaller cars. You can fit more in.
Mm-hmm.
And then here's the ones for the trucks, and then here's the ones for the trailers. We set them all aside like that. We gained like 100 extra parking places out there just by trying to use some common sense on this.
Common sense, yep.
So that's, everybody needs to look at this differently. Some of these smaller cars, I wouldn't get in. I've seen roller skates bigger than them. And
I know some of these little smart cars, like, ooh, that's a casket on wheels. You're just waiting for something to happen.
You see them on I-5 and you say, is that smart?
No.
So getting back to the rodeo, when does the city of Reading vote on the lease for the rodeo grounds?
That has not been determined. We have time. You know, they're supposed to come back with a study. But in the meantime, we'll just start right now and just say, look, 15-year lease is what we want.
Awesome.
And we need thousands of people to stand up and say, Reading, this is our time.
Well, do you think, okay, with the signatures, what are the signatures going to do? Just show support? Is that what
Yes. So we'll need, I'm going to set this up in a couple of different ways. One, we just want Reading voters.
Right.
Then we want Shasta County voters,
okay.
And then we want other people who support. So
Perfect.
That so that nobody has to go through and vet these things. And
Correct.
we want these things to be right.
Yeah, absolutely.
And
it makes it easier.
It just says look at the response here, folks. Why are you wasting any time at all on this subject?
Well, absolutely. And that's the thing too, is that when you go through that process, you want to show them, hey, this is the support we have
right.
for this.
Yes.
To stay remain the same, what have you. And then once it remains the same, then you can do the improvements once you have the contract
right.
and you have the agreement, the lease, whatever you're gonna have, and make it move it forward.
And make it fair for everybody. Everybody that rents property can have a 15-year lease.
Yeah, yeah.
It's real simple.
Exactly.
Everybody's treated equally.
Well, okay, so is there any discussion? I'll just ask this. Is there any discussion of the Rodeo Association buying the property from the city?
I have not been involved in that. I mean, I can ask that and kind of find that. But, you know, if they're going to sell it to one, you've got to be careful. That's a slippery slope you're going
right.
down. Then you
right. Well, I know there's always something has to be dealt with in order to do that.
Right.
But I just didn't know if that was a discussion.
If they declare it surplus, there's some rules that they have to follow.
Right.
And okay. I don't know if the surplus property they've sold, if they've followed all those rules or not. It'd be interesting to look at.
Oh, kind of like the property down off Bonneview, off of Churnker.
Because it has to be offered to other government agencies first. I mean, there's all kinds of rules.
What would be the opposition of them not offering the lease for 75 years?
That's the question.
Well, there had to have been a reason that they'd spend our money.
Mm-hmm.
Or, I mean, well, let's just see if this sticks on the wall. There had to have been a reason. There had to be
a plan somewhere that they would say, okay, within so many years, we want to do something else.
Yeah, wouldn't you think?
I kind of think that way. Yeah. You think that way. So.
Well, yeah. Also, too, if the city of Redding is going to end up being upside down like it was in 2007 and 8, you know, when we had a crash, because there are rumors. I know people that work at the city of Redding, and they're being told, according to them, that there could be some potential layoffs, and we're talking drastic layoffs, a lot of folks. So why would they not sell all their properties to get them gone so they have the ability to either keep people employed or to do some restructuring and cleaning it up?
This is going to be another subject matter, but it's not what you sell or how much you sell it for. It's what you do with what you get.
Right.
We'll just leave it at that because that's a whole other ball of wax.
That's
right. That's a good point.
Well, when they have unfunded liabilities, they're upside down anyway.
We're going to discuss that, too.
Yeah, they're bleeding like crazy.
Because I'll tell you right now, I worked for McLeod for the last 5 years, and I took their unfunded liabilities, which was only $3 million, but in a town of 750 homes, $3 million is
a lot of dollars.
Down to $1 million, and it didn't cost a penny. You can take care of your unfunded liabilities. And I got that in writing, proof that.
What do you think it is in Redding now? That I've heard talk it's close to $1 billion with a B.
You know, the last time, years ago, it was $200 million, and I'm sure it's $300.
You think?
Yeah.
Years ago, gas was $2 a gallon.
Yeah, but that doesn't go up at the same.
I know. I'm just saying that.
No, it's higher, and you know the salaries are higher, therefore it kicks up those. So I got into that, and I found the way out of it, and I'm going to offer it to the city and to the county. It says if you guys don't do school districts, anybody who's in the PERS program can use this, and it is an immediate savings.
Have you thought about doing a program like, call it, Reading Watchdog?
I'm retired. I've got this motorhome sitting in my driveway.
You know,
yeah,
or something, you know.
It's going to Alaska this year, and I may not come back till the sun doesn't rise. I'm not going to stay up there in January and say, look, you're watching 4 o'clock, and says, well, is it 4 a.m. or 4 p.m.?
There you go.
I love Alaska.
I can't do that.
Well, do the military time, then you'll know. Yeah.
You're seriously going to Alaska.
I've been going for 14 years. This year it's a motorhome, and I'm going to be there I could be there a couple months easily.
Awesome.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And then leave it up there and pick it up the next year.
That's awesome.
So, you know, I know I can't do the weekly, but, you know, I can participate.
Well, we need to have a group of people that are being more of a watchdog on what's going on in the city.
Yeah.
And I think that that's something we've overlooked. I do have a question for you. You might be able to help me with. In going to Anderson, I noticed their roads are better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, in Shasta Lake City, come see, come saw. But in Redding, is
bad.
It me or,
no, they're bad.
Or, you know, because I lost my car the other day in a pothole.
Oh,
so I'm trying to figure if that's the case. Now, is that the county's jurisdiction or
no.
The city's jurisdiction?
City. That's the one within the city. Not, as long as it's not the Caltrans highways and stuff like that. It's the city.
Talking about city roads.
Yeah. I live on a hill. And it's alligatored so bad that I think we lose kids. If I was living on that hill as a kid, I'd be skateboarding every day. You won't skateboard on this hill, I guarantee you.
Yeah.
So.
Well, what's going on? I mean, that's the thing. Because I've heard a lot of people, we get a lot of action at the Board of Supervisors, and I've heard a lot of people, how come we're not talking about the roads? And I'm thinking, well, where is the jurisdiction of that?
Yeah. It means city streets are city streets.
City streets,
and then,
yeah.
You know, there's the county. I'm sure the county may have something, and. But, you know, Caltrans, you've got the highways that go through here. They're responsible for those.
Everybody has their jurisdiction on the streets and the roads.
Oh, man. Well, here's what I love. You can go to the city of Redding and go to the services over there, and parking is free. And you come into the county and try to go to a Board of Supervisors meeting or court, and you have to park and you have to pay for it. But the money doesn't go to the county. It goes to the city because the city has the jurisdiction over the parking.
Over the streets.
Over the streets. Okay, so, I think we might have a quest here for a group of people, because it seems to me like the city of Redding is doing some absolutely insane things, and I think a couple of them want to run for assembly.
Well, and the thing is, yeah, you're right. But
are you
also,
kidding me?
Some of the streets, when they dig a hole or draw they do something within the street itself, within the body of the street. If they're doing some digging of pipes or whatever, getting access to some sewer or electrical or whatever. But when they get it patched back up, it's worse than it was before. Go down Cypress, yeah. East Cypress. There is a nasty, and you don't see it until you're in it. And that's the thing. I've been on it, and I've seen it there, and I saw it when they were working on it. But that thing will knock your jaw a few times if you're not careful. Yeah. And then anywhere you go, it's just like that all over the city of Reading. What the hell?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. I lost four teeth there last week.
Yeah, the answer to that is they put a sign that says bump on either
side. Bump. Bump. Hole.
Until some homeless guy takes it and uses it for shame.
So let me get this straight. All this stuff going on in the city of Reading, and there are two people on that city council
that are running for assembly. Yeah.
Just
one.
Just one?
Yeah, because the
Melissa Hunt's running. Melissa Hunt lives in Anderson.
Right, so she's running for the assembly. Well,
I'm talking about City of Reading.
Okay, who's?
And Assembly Bassano, and I believe Tanessa.
Odette.
Well, she's running? Okay,
so that's what we heard. I don't know if that's from official. Maybe Shasta somebody County. Can send us on the chat room, let us know. But do you know that for sure, or do you?
I don't know that for sure. Okay. I haven't spoken to her personally, so I don't know that for sure.
Okay.
But that's yeah,
you see,
rumor.
When you have too many people run for one position, like three from this county, you split your vote three
ways. There's
ways.
Four from this county, from what I understand.
Oh, another one then.
I don't remember
who it was.
And
there'll be other counties that are involved in that assembly district. So you give somebody in a smaller county who's more united than we splitting our votes for three or four times.
Well, there might be somebody coming out of Placer County. Yeah. There's several. I don't know if Kirk Euler is going to run or not, but he was a board of supervisor chairman for quite some time, did a lot of, was very active during the beginning of COVID, pushing Placer County out of their state of emergency.
Right.
His whole deal was that the official code of a state of emergency is when the threat itself overwhelms the resources of your county, and that never happened in Placer County. It was like minuscule. So there's no reason to keep that particular state of emergency open. So he was doing, and we had him on this program, as a matter of fact.
Yep, I did.
And I did when we were down in Sacramento with the Freedom Angels, we did that big rally down there he and I both spoke at that.
Yep.
And his position, again, was one that was, at least at the time, was a strong conservative position. I'd be surprised if he didn't run. Yeah. And you're talking there's 14 counties that are able to run for assembly? So you could be looking at 30 people.
And you do that, and if you just have one on one side and you have 29 on the other side of the fence, the one's going to win.
That's right.
You think?
Even though they're a minority.
Yep.
So you've got to be careful with that stuff.
That's right.
You got to play. Everything's a number, and you got to put the number into the right formula and read it correctly.
I think that the main thing is and I think you hit the nail on the head with that. The thing is that as Republicans, we seem to have 8,000 different things we want to fight.
Right.
So we don't unite ourselves in one position, where the Democrats seem to unite themselves. And very quickly, the perfect analogy of the Democrats and Republicans is they're playing poker. And as they're playing poker, and they have a big pot of money in the middle, and that's your money. That money's sitting in the middle. They're playing poker. The Republican goes, I have four aces. The back of the deck is all the same deck. The Democrats say, no, I've got five aces. They're all different backs on the aces. They're all different decks. So they go ahead, and they're going back and forth. And the Democrats say, well, we have five. You have four. The Republicans are saying it's impossible you could have five. We have five, and then the Democrats pull all the money toward them, and the Republicans' answer is, well, at least we played by the rules.
Yeah.
And that's what happens
every
time with the Republicans, because there's so many different factions so many different fractions.
That's
fractions, right.
That was done intentionally.
Right.
Yes, sir.
Okay, let's go back to the rodeo stuff real quick, because we only have a couple minutes left. So what do you want the listeners to know real quickly that we can do to help and
that support? We will be putting out a campaign called 75 More. We are backing giving the Reading Rodeo Association another 75 years. They made it 75. Great shape. Let's keep our rodeo. There'll be some petitions going out. We'll try to get a website, a logo, all of this going. You'll see us at the breakfast. You'll see us at the rodeo grounds. We'll be talking about it everywhere. Put a website so people can go in and put their names in there. If we need signatures later on, we'll have a way to get a hold of them.
Okay, perfect.
We got to make it easy for people.
Absolutely.
That's one thing. Yes, and everybody's busy right now, so this is just to let the city know that leave it alone. Give them 15 years. Let's move on.
All right. Well, thank you, Mike.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you, guys.
You're a brother.
All right.
Time has come.
For 51.
Let's get it done.
Our bill, we had no say.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.